That Dave, not that Dave. Okay. He was nodding off last week, and I thought, well, I'll pay out a young person for doing it, so I might as well pay out an old person for doing it. He's not old? He's in his prime. That's good to hear. Hey, we're in the Abundance series tonight. Abundance series, basically what we're doing is we're looking at how big God is, how abundant God is, and what he wants to, just who he is in his character, never alone what he wants to share with us and what he wants. And I think when we get to an understanding of how abundant God is, that it can actually shape us and form us and how we pray and what we can expect of God. And we looked at a few problems last week with abundance. We looked at how the fact is that if we try and hang on to God's abundance, we actually restrict God's flow of what he wants to do through us. That God's abundance is not meant to be ours to contain, but it's meant to be ours to pass on. And the more we try and contain it, the more it dries up, or the more we actually step out of what God wants to do in us and through us. And so so what we're going to be looking at in the next couple of weeks is a flow on from that God gives it to us so that we can give it away to others. And tonight we're going to be exploring God's abundant love for us. And look at this, there's 1,000 scriptures that I could, well, probably not quite 1,000, but close, that I could be sharing with you about God's abundant love for you. You can go to a lot of the parables of the kingdom of God, and Jesus will talk about, you know, the shepherd that would leave the 99 sheep and out of abundant love will go and search for the one that is lost. We talk about a woman who would come and pull apart a whole room for this one coin that she has lost, and that God is like that for us. God is constantly wanting to draw us into his presence and to show us his great love for us. We can look at pieces of scripture that says nothing can separate us from his love. Not life, nor death, nor anything can separate us from his great love. There's scripture after scripture talking about how abundant God's love is. That while we were still far away from him, he sent his son so that he can show us that he loves us. That the most famous scripture of all, John 3:16, is God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. You know, you just go on and on and on and on about it. I suppose there's two little things that I want to bring to our attention tonight. One is just to reaffirm God's love for you and God's desire for you to be in his presence. And that comes through the parable of the lost son. And you might remember this. It's a pretty famous one where there's a dad who has two sons, and his youngest son says, "Dad, give me all my inheritance now. I want to head off." It's in Luke chapter 15, if you're interested. I want my share of the property, which basically means I no longer want you to be my father. I'm actually saying that you're dead to me. And I just want to go off and do my own thing. And I want to spend what you've earned on me however I want to do it. That's a great parable for us today about people who just say, you know what, God, I know that you're there, but I just want to go and live life my way. You know, sure, I grew up in church, but you know what? I don't get this whole religion stuff, and I just want to do life my way. You know, I pray sometimes, and it doesn't make a lot of sense. I open up the scriptures, and I don't really know what's going on there either. And you know what, God? I just want to take this blessing that you've given me in a community that loves me. I just want you to give me this blessing of a family who loves me. And you know what? I just want to go and do my own thing. And as I was sharing with the Zoe community this afternoon, because they've been with us for a year, which has been fantastic, worshipping as a congregation here, I was sharing with them that the Father understood that his son wanted him dead. And so the father understood that exactly what the son was going to spend all his inheritance was. The father understood that he was going to waste it. The father understood that he wasn't going to honor him with his inheritance. He wasn't going to go and make something of himself that he can be proud of. Father knew he was going to squander it all. And yet he still let him go. You know what? God will always let people go who don't want to be in his presence. Paul backs this up. He says, God will just hand people over to their sin. It's out of his love for you that he does that. If you don't want to be a part of his plan, his picture, his thing, his love for you is so great, he goes, you know what, I'm going to let you go and do what you want to do. But when you're ready, come back. Do you know that the Amish do this? When their kids turn 17, they send them out of the community. That's all they've known. Into the world. And said, you've got a year. And they go out and they do whatever they do. Who knows? And a year they have to make a choice or not whether they want to come back and live the Amish way or not. And really it comes out of this principle. And 79% of them come home. 79%. Because they just realize, they go and they live crazy lives and they realize the blessing that they have when they push it away. That's what the father knows in this parable. And so it's not like his heart's not breaking for them. Just like anyone who grew up in a church like this and leaves, you know, I can tell you as a pastor, my heart breaks. I don't want anyone to go. But sometimes people have to go to realize what they need and what they want. And so this story continues that the young person goes off and spends all the father's wealth on prostitutes and wild living, whatever you want to put in those brackets of wild living. And then the money runs out and there's a famine in the country and he gets desperate. And it says he gets a job feeding pigs but his belly is aching. And there's something there about the fact that we have to get to a point sometimes where we tried everything else and our belly just aches. And he has this thought, God-given thought, I reckon. He goes, you know what? My father's place wasn't that bad after all. That church community wasn't that bad. Maybe I can go back. And the abundance love in this story, and you probably heard it before, is that he convinces himself that he should go back into the arms of his father and in reference for us to come back, no matter what we've done, into the arms of God. And he says, while the son was still a fair way off, after he'd said to himself, you know what, I'm going to repent to my dad. I'm just going to say, Dad, I'm sorry. I'm not worthy to be your son. Let me just come and be a hired helper. He has this repentant moment in his heart and in his mind going, I need to go home. And while he's still a long way off, the scripture says, the father spots his son. And a lot of preachers will say, well, the father was out there every day looking. I don't know about that. But I know the father was every day hoping that his son would come home. And he says, when he was a long way off, he saw his son and he ran to him and he hugged him and he kissed him. And the son tried to get the apology out, but the father wasn't listening because the father didn't care what he had done. He just cared that he was home. Puts a robe over him and a sandals on his feet and a ring on his finger to show that even though he had gone and squandered all that blessing that he had received, that he was back a part of the family and the father wanted to rejoice. That's the abundant love of God. that says no matter what you've done, you're always welcome home. No matter what you think about church and about God, whether you're confused about it, whether you're struggling with it, God is waiting for you to come home. That's his abundant love towards you. He doesn't care necessarily about what you've done. He just cares that you're home and that you want to be in relationship with him. And so come repentant, come humble, come saying, God, I need you, and God will meet you. That's his love for you. Nothing more important in the gospel than that. There is nothing that you have done that can separate you from his love. And if you want to be in relationship with God, he will make it happen. Come humbly, come repentant, come wanting to do life his way, and God will turn your life around. So there's plenty of scriptures around like that one that are just packed full of goodness about how much God loves you. I'm wondering, though, why we have a little bit of a disconnect between the fact that God loves us and us then being able to love other people. Because if we're not here to contain it, but we're here to pass it on, then we are meant to be a conduit for that love to come through. We're meant to be an iPad that's always plugged in and never runs out of power. We're meant to be able to not just have a little bit of God's love, but overflowing in God's love so we can help other people. So why is that disconnect? I reckon there's a bit of disconnect depending on where our head and our heart is. Now, I think if our heart is connected to God but our head isn't, then we're not going to really understand the fullness of God's love. If we understand God's love in our head but we don't really quite understand it with our heart, then we're not really going to flow. And so the two of them need to come together for a flow to happen, enabling God to drench us in his love. And so how do you know if you have a head or a heart disconnect? Well, I think it's about what you say to yourself. If you say to yourself that you're not good enough for God, okay, that's a heart issue. Oh, not good enough. Like, I've done so much stuff wrong, just not good enough for God. Then you've closed your heart to the fact that God has done everything to bring you into the kingdom. If your self-talk is, I just need to try harder, I just need to try harder, then you've got a head disconnect. You just think that you can do it through your works. And we have all that self-talk. It's either self-talk around I'm not good enough, or it's self-talk around that I've got to work harder to be blessed more, or for God to bless my family, I've got to do more. Then there's a disconnect with your head and your heart about the love of God in your life. And God wants to bring those two together and tally them up so that flow can happen. Because when you have a heart and a head disconnect, what can happen is how you express love changes. It becomes a little bit warped. What happens when you have a disconnect of the heart is that you can become judgmental. When your heart is not flowing in the love of God, but your head is saying that God is love, you go, well, why can't people just change? Why can't people just do things differently? Can't they see that what they're doing is wrong, what they're doing is painful, what they're doing is hurtful, and there becomes a judgment that comes on? Keep trying, Dave. You're doing well, man. Keep trying. And then there's the other heart, that if our heart is connected but our head's not, then we just want to embrace people and love people, but we want to leave people where they are. We don't want to challenge them. We don't want to encourage them to grow. We don't want to see God do amazing work in them. And so if we have that disconnect in our own life, it actually affects how we communicate God's love and how we interact with other people in our lives and show that on to each other. So we need to get it together. We've got to get our head and our heart in the right place. And we can do that by simply asking God to show us the disconnect and then to do something about it. The scriptures talk all the time about be transformed in your mind, Romans says. Cleansed of the heart, Psalm says. That when we allow God to cleanse our heart and renew our mind, or maybe do both and bring them back into sync, then we can appreciate and understand and flow in the abundant love of God. So what I'm going to do to you, we're going to spend a little bit of time in Ephesians 2, chapter 2 of Ephesians 1 to 10. And this is what it says. It says, as for you, you were dead in your transgression and your sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who were disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Let's just stop there. What's this saying? It's saying that as the people of God at one stage, we were stuck in our brokenness and in our mire and in our sin and in our transgressions. We were stuck there. And we just lived our life the way that we wanted to live it. Much like the younger son, just saying, I'm going to go off and do my own thing. But Paul here is saying in Ephesians that when we're living that way, we're actually living under a spiritual realm of the evil one. It doesn't mean we're evil. It just means we're under the influence of evil. And we're doing things that our flesh just wants, and we're doing things that everybody else says is okay. But when it comes to God's word, it's not okay. And so he's saying you're under that, but, this is what it says. Number four, thanks, Gracie. But, underline that, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by the grace that we have been saved. So he's saying, you were once in the muck, you were once broken, you were once in sin. You may have grown up in church, but maybe you've drifted away. You may have never been in church, and maybe you're just being confronted with your sin now. But Jesus is saying, and I pulled you up, and I lifted you out of the mud, out of your brokenness, out of your sin, and by the love of God, the rich love of God, I saved you. While you were dead, while you were broken, while you didn't deserve it, that's when I grabbed you and picked you up and saved you. Thanks, Gracie. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Jesus Christ, in order that in the coming ages he might show his incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not from yourself. It is a gift of God. It is not by works. It is not by one who... so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So here we see Jesus has pulled us out of our sin, out of our muck, out of our brokenness, has redeemed us and saved us and connected us into the heavenly realms. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit that we have that connects us to God. And that he's done that not because we deserve it, not because we're anything special, but simply because he loves us. And out of that love, he expects that we'll get on and do what we've been created to do in the good works that he has for us. So I love the fact that God's love for us is transformative. It doesn't leave us where it is. It's not like God sees us in our brokenness, in our mire, in our sin, goes there and goes, there, it's all okay. You're okay, you're good. Sure, you're broken, sure, you're in sin, but you're okay. Let me just give you a hug. God doesn't do that. God says, I see that you're broken, I see that you sin, I see that you muck up, I see that you're not where you know that you're meant to be, and so I'm going to save you. I'm going to transform you. I'm going to renew you, and he pours us out. That's what God's love does. God's love is transformative. That's why when Jesus goes around and proclaims the kingdom of God, he just doesn't tell neat stories saying the kingdom of God is like a lost son. Isn't that impressive? He goes around and he heals people and he restores people and he casts out demons and he makes people clean who have been unclean for years and years and years. He cleans the leper. He makes clean the lady who was bleeding for 12 years. He makes clean people who are on the edge of society. He makes clean the prostitute. He makes clean the adulterer. He makes clean. He restores. He transforms. God doesn't leave us. His love doesn't work that way. We think in this day and age to love someone means to just accept whatever they are and that's it. But that's not the love we see in Scripture. The love that we see in Scripture is a love that says, I love you for who you are, but I want you to be clean. I want you to be whole. I want you to be more. And so I'm going to sit with you and I'm going to work with you and I'm going to talk to you and I'm going to bless you and I'm going to encourage you until you get there. God's love is transformative. I don't know what issue you've got in your life, but God wants to transform it into something different. I don't know what problem you've got in your life, but God wants to transform it into something beautiful. God's love is transformative. It doesn't want to leave us trapped. It doesn't want to leave us confused. It doesn't want to leave us without a clue. It wants to do a work in us. And to do that, God will sometimes tell us off. And I don't know if God tells you off. Maybe it's just me. God tells me off all the time. Barry, why are you such an idiot? It's just about every time I pray. Barry, why do you say the things that you say? I said, I don't know, God, you've created me this way. It's your fault, not mine. And then we have an argument and he wins. Okay. But Scripture is pretty clear in Proverbs and in Hebrews that God corrects those he loves. And so if the voice comes to you and convicts you of what you're doing, it's not because he's condemning you, it's because he wants you to be free. And I know that there are people in this room who are stuck in their sin, who often wonder whether or not it really is sin or not because they've prayed about it and it doesn't seem to be going away. But I can tell you that God wants to deal with it and wants you to humbly continue to come before him and offer it to him so he can break through and make a difference. God's love is transformative and God's love corrects us because it doesn't want to leave us stuck. We don't like this in this day and age, but one of the most helpful things that you can have in your life is someone who will tell you the truth that you don't want to hear. Constructive criticism. I sit down every Monday afternoon and I ask my preaching lay preach team, I go, so how could I have preached that better? And they haven't got to the point of truth-telling with me yet, but I ask anyway. because they're all too polite. And polite is nice. Polite makes me feel warm and fuzzy, but polite does not help me grow. Love people enough to tell them the truth. Because that's what God does to you. So if we've got some self-talk going on around our head, like we have to earn God's favor, or that God doesn't care, or then we've got a disconnect between our head and our heart, and we're not going to flow into the things that God wants us to flow into, the love, the abundant love that he has for us. Because the truth that we see out of this passage is that God's love is a gift. Nothing we can do to earn it. All we can do is hold our hands out and accept it. The truth of love that we see in this passage is love rescues and saves us. We don't have to save ourselves. We don't have to do self-help therapy. We don't have to buy a book of about 7 healthy habits for going to the toilet or whatever it is. Actually, that might sell. God rescues us and God saves us. We see in this passage that God's love is great. It has no limit. We see that God's love raises us up out of the mire. And we see that God's love is deep and wide and wonderful. This is what it says in Ephesians 3, 18 and 19. Let's start at 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how high, how wide, and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. When we start to get our head and our heart together in the right place, when we stop making excuses about what God wants to do inside of us, when we line all that up, then we start to grasp the fullness of God's love. And I don't know about you, but the knowledge that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God really kind of excites me. To grasp the fullness of the measure of God within you and what God wants to do would be incredible. So two things I want you to know tonight. God loves you. Now we're going to be talking about forgiveness next week, because forgiveness can stop that love from flowing. If you have bitterness against someone, it's going to muck that up. But I want you to know tonight that if you come towards God humbly, he will show you his love. And two, I want to encourage you to get your head and your heart in alignment, so that that love can not just contain in you, but flow through you. That you can know that God loves you, but you can also feel that God loves you, and then you can pass it through. So I'm wondering, will you stand with me? We're going to pray together. And what I want you to do is, if you've got a disconnect, you just acknowledge that you've got a disconnect between your head and your heart, that maybe one's blocked over the other. We're just going to spend time asking God to remove that now. And so just as a sign, as everyone's just about to close their eyes, just put your hands out in front of you to receive a gift from God. If you've got a disconnect between your head and your heart, that you doubt God's love, that you think you need to earn God's love, just put them out in front of you and we're going to pray. The loving God, here we are, your people. And Lord, for those who have their hands out in front of them, wanting to receive your gift of love and grace in their life afresh and anew, Lord, forgive them. for that which they need to be forgiven of, and do a work in renewing their mind and refreshing their heart. Come, Holy Spirit, and move. Cleanse out the doubts and the fears. Cleanse the bitterness, the hatred. And Lord, fill them afresh and anew. I love the fact, Lord, that you want us to be free. You want us to be whole. And so, God of mercy, God of grace, God of forgiveness, come. Breathe your breath of life upon us. Because here we are with our hands out, asking for this gift of love, this gift of grace. So, loving God, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing again. Let's sing.